These morning reflections can be understood primarily, I think, as descriptions of what we might be able to witness, to observe in our experience. And some of the perspective, offering the perspective of the Buddha about what happens in the mind that creates stress, creates suffering. As opposed to what I'm offering in these mornings as being something to do. Sayadaw often says this, that this offering is information. And information offered is a condition. When it's heard, received, taken in, it's a condition that affects experience. It may affect that, how you receive experience. And so it's not something necessarily, although at times it can be useful to kind of aim or direct the curiosity towards a particular aspect of experience that may have been described. But primarily, the practice is really simple. We cultivate a relaxed, receptive awareness. And with a curiosity about, is there something in our attitude that may be affecting how we are receiving experience unseen, and beginning to expose those hidden attitudes so they can also be received in a relaxed, receptive way. The doing of the practice is primarily about establishing this relaxed, receptive awareness and taking in the perspective the Buddha offers, descriptions of what can be understood, can be seen. And that will have an effect on how the receiving of experience happens. Our views about what's going on in our minds, what's happening in the world, affects how we take in information, how we receive experience, to the point of views actually can shape that we see certain things and don't see certain things. And this is, I believe, what the Buddha is kind of trying to open our minds to. He's said to have thought, after he had his realization, wow, this is really subtle. I don't know if people will be able to understand this. But then he had the inspiration to teach with the idea that some would understand. And so for most of us, the Buddha was kind of a special case in that he was able to find his way to this understanding about how suffering is structured in the mind and understand the craving, the greed, the aversion, the delusion, the confusion that can be released. But most of us need some pointing. Most of us need some help. Very few of us would stumble into this on our own. And so we explore establishing mindfulness, which is a foundational tool to be able to see into what's happening. Establishing that continuity which allows us to see over time the patterns unfolding, the impermanent nature of experience, the conditioned nature of experience, the unreliable nature of experience. So we are seeing nature. Our own nature. We are nature, a part of the unfolding processes of nature. And the word Dhamma, one of its meanings or understanding is the nature of can be translated as nature. Dhamma can be translated as nature. And understanding the nature of our minds is what the Buddha was pointing us to. So this can serve as a reflection for us. As mindfulness gets established, we can have some curiosity about the nature of experience. One aspect of the nature of our experience that is so useful to understand is the conditioning nature. Conditioned, it's both conditioned and conditioning. So what arises in this moment has been shaped by conditions. Both conditions from our lives, from the past, many conditions, conditions of weather, conditions of where you're physically located, conditions of what you've learned, how you've been treated, how you've responded. Experience in the past, and how you are right now is a condition that shapes the experience right now. Whether there's mindfulness or not is a condition that shapes the experience right now. So what's happening in the moment has been conditioned, is arising in dependence on conditions. And what is unfolding in particular, our states of mind shape what will arise for us. So they are conditioning our experience now, conditions the future, and how we respond in this moment conditions the future. Seeing this process at work, which can happen as the mindfulness gets more continuous, may or may not be where the mind is oriented, and so again, not necessarily something to do, but it can be revealed, this shaping nature of experience and shaped nature of experience as the mindfulness is more continuous. We can start to see the nature of this shaping, in particular related to mind states. So, for instance, aversion can arise in dependence on, conditioned by many things. But one might be physical unpleasant sensation. Dependence on unpleasant sensation, a form of craving that is aversion, can arise. This is part of the description of dependent origination. And that aversion, in its own turn, shapes our experience. Sometimes we could ask the question, what is the nature, the shaping nature? How does aversion affect us? We can be curious about that, or it can be revealed, the shaping nature of aversion, what it inclines the mind to do. These mental formations have their Seidel calls them job descriptions. They have activities that they do, independent of any sense of I doing anything. When aversion arises, its job, one of the ways I've just described it to myself, its job is to separate. Whether that means a separation by me pulling back from something or a separation by me obliterating something. A kind of an anger move or a fear move. This separation seems to be the fundamental job of aversion. So its nature, in a way, is to separate. its job description, and it has a belief, aversion seems to have a belief embedded in it that this separation will be a way that this being can find ease and happiness. So that's the belief, the kind of the delusion embedded in aversion is that separation leads to happiness. When that's arising, that's kind of the operating understanding that aversion acts from. It also seems to have this kind of proclivity when aversion is arising with this belief that because it believes that separation is the way to happiness, this the job of aversion goes around looking for things to separate from. It affects other areas of experience as well. It affects our body. Often there's a constriction in the body when aversion arises. So this conditioning nature, again, seeing how what arises is not independent from other processes. It processes in our bodies and minds kind of interrelate and interweave. When aversion is arising in the mind, in that plan, kind of that orientation to look for things to separate from, it tends to attune to find unpleasant experience. So it kind of shapes that aggregate of feeling tone, the receiving of experience. What is received? What the mind is oriented to is unpleasant. So there's many effects that mind states have on us. I've just been through a little bit with aversion, but every mind state has this kind of job description. Its nature, what its belief is. Seeing this conditioning nature, conditioned and conditioning nature, really help the mind to recognize that the processes of body and mind are doing their thing. We take to be I, me, is a process of conditions unfolding. The choices that are made by mind states with their beliefs and proclivities and orientations. And the sense of self is one of those mental formations that has proclivities and beliefs and orientations. But it's just another arising condition with its job description. And sometimes Sayadaw encourages us to get to know the job descriptions of our mind states. So I kind of laid out a little bit of the job description of aversion from my own practice, my own experience. But this can be revealed, and there can be a kind of an interest that may arise at times around this exploration. What is the job description of greed? What is the job description of love? Let's not leave the wholesome qualities out of this exploration, because they are also conditioned and conditioning. And we can understand the effect of the wholesome qualities as leading towards well-being. Through this understanding, we also see the effect of the unwholesome qualities, based in greed, aversion, delusion, as leading towards dukkha, stress, suffering, dissatisfaction. And this, we could say partly, this understanding that happens, the recognition of the difference between wholesome and unwholesome states. This is the job description of wisdom. When wisdom arises, it has that discerning quality to understand these states lead towards suffering. These states lead towards ease, well-being, happiness. And so the mind begins to orient, to let go of the unwholesome. And move in the direction of the wholesome. And so these reflections, letting them just land however they land. You don't have to think about them. Let them kind of be like Dharma rain landing in your system, filtering through like rain filters through the soil, nourishing the roots of crops, plants. Keeping the practice itself simple. Allowing the relaxation of body. Aware, recognizing awareness, is there awareness? Maybe recognizing there's already awareness. Receiving the experience. What is being received? Is this conditioned and conditioning process unfolding? Perhaps there can be a sense of being with this process. another way of receiving. Hanging out with, being with this body and mind. Honoring the experience by being with it. Not resisting it, and yet not holding on to it either.